The headlines this hour: at least 37 people are killed and more than 170 others wounded in bombings in Pakistan. U.S. prosecutors say one of the 10 arrested alleged spies has admitted to working for Russia. A U.S. lawmaker says the cost of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill could run into trillions of dollars. And a member of the American-Iranian Friendship Committee becomes the victim of U.S. police brutality.
It is 6 p.m. in Washington and 2 a.m. in Moscow. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, a series of explosions have killed at least 37 people and wounded more than 175 others in northeastern Pakistan. The explosions happened at a prayer site belonging to a minority sect in the country's second largest city of Lahore. A large number of worshippers were at the site when the blasts occurred. No person or group has claimed responsibility for the attacks yet. Lahore, the cultural capital of Pakistan, has been the target of many attacks in recent months. Militant attacks in Pakistan have claimed the lives of hundreds of people this year alone.
U.S. prosecutors say one of the 10 arrested alleged spies has admitted to working for Russia. The prosecutors have sent the confessions in a letter to Judge Ronald Ellis to deny bail to the suspect. The suspect has been identified as Juan Lazaro. Lazaro has also admitted his co-accused, Peruvian journalist Vicky Perez, had delivered correspondence on his behalf to Russia. He has also said the house they shared outside New York was paid for by Russian intelligence officials. Washington says the arrested people were tasked with infiltrating policymaking circles and collecting information for Russia. Moscow has said the information on the issue is, quote, full of contradictions. For more on that story, we're now joined by our correspondent who is in Washington, Colin Campbell. Colin, can you give us the latest on the case there?
Yes, Juan Lazaro, or a suspected spy who identified as Juan Lazaro, said that he did indeed exchange information with Russian intelligence. He said he wouldn't forsake his loyalty to the SVR, the Russian intelligence agency that he's supposedly connected to, even for the sake of his son. Now, he was married to a Peruvian journalist who would correspond with the intelligence service as well, sometimes offering information on his behalf. And this is a shocking admission, as other of his suspected colleagues, other alleged spies, are in court and have been pretty tight-lipped, speaking through their attorneys. But this is something that he made a revelation of, and that he said he was very much a part of it, and that his wife was also implicated in some of the activities. So this is just unfolding today and last night, and a lot of people are paying attention to it here, particularly the Obama administration, that has said that it's not going to affect their relationship or its relationship with the Russian government. And this is something that a lot of us expect the Obama administration to say, especially after having such a kind of, I wouldn't quite call it a love fest, but definitely a meeting that would show that their differences or past differences are now starting to subside a little bit, and they're looking forward to more of a partnership. And this is, you can't help but question the timing of all this, coming in as they just met last week, sharing lunch together, talking about social networking websites together, having a burger and a few laughs, and now this all breaks, that there were allegedly 11 people going under behind the government and trying to assimilate information to bring back to the Russian government. So a lot of people are paying attention to this right now.
All right, Colin, supposedly this ring and this investigation has been going on for a very long time in the U.S., but you also mentioned that both sides are saying that this will not affect ties. Is that really realistic?
Well, this is what they're saying. Of course, that this investigation has been going on for about a decade, it's been reported, and these alleged suspects were under very tight surveillance. It was even said that they could not even put condiments on their hamburgers, ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise, without the CIA or FBI knowing about their movements. So on the outset, we're going to see that there's trying to be an accord between these two governments. But behind the scenes, I feel that what experts are saying is that there is a level of distrust. And of course, over the years of the Cold War, those feelings there can't just go away in a matter of a few years. Of course, there's going to be a lingering feeling of distrust, a lingering feeling of disloyalty, and a lingering feeling of suspicion that there is one government trying to supersede another backhandedly. So this is what has been going on. At the same time, we're seeing that not so many people are surprised by all this. We're hearing over here that there are still probably many more spies in the U.S. that are conspiring for other governments, and that the U.S. also has spies in other countries conspiring for our government. And that this is, of course, supposed to be very deep cover, very covert, so of course it's not going to make the headlines every day, but it is happening every day. And the type of sleeper cell that these alleged suspects had was one that would compile information over a long period of time to be used for something of a greater purpose later on. This wasn't an immediate type of intelligence gathering. This was something that was planned and very deliberate so that there was a lot of information that could be used for a big purpose down the road of which none of us know about.
All right, Colin, we will, of course, keep a very close eye on that. That was Colin Campbell, Press TV's correspondent, joining us there from Washington. On to some other news now. Thousands of barrels of oil keep gushing into the Gulf of Mexico almost 2.5 months after the leak began.
Well, now a U.S. lawmaker says the cost of cleaning up the massive oil spill could run into trillions of dollars. Democratic House Representative Shayla Jackson Lee says the U.S. will have an ongoing and unending commitment to dealing with the disaster. She suggested blocking an Afghan war spending bill to cover the cost for the cleanup. The massive price tag of the spill has forced BP to secure loans and put up assets for sale. The oil giant is in talks to sell its shares in Pan American Energy Corporation. The South American company owns a number of key oil and gas reserves in Bolivia and Argentina. The deal would raise an estimated $8 to $9 billion.
The American-Iranian Friendship Committee says one of its members has been the victim of police brutality. It accuses U.S. police of injuring Iranian-American academic Kaveh Afrasiabi while in custody in Boston. Officials say Afrasiabi's arrest was over an unpaid ticket dating back more than two decades ago. Police reportedly denied him his constitutional right to contact his family or his lawyer. Earlier, Afrasiabi gave Press TV his account of
the
incident.
They singled me out, put me alone in a van, separated from the other cellmates, drove recklessly at full speed, came to a full stop with my hand tied behind me on my back, and I had no way of holding to anything, and I went flying into a metal sheet, and I could have been killed right then and there. You have the Cambridge police denying that they even arrested me because they should be ashamed of themselves. They're so embarrassed by what they did to me that they're trying to wipe out the record. But I have here the documents that I was in their custody and they released me. And there's no way they can get around that. And I'm complaining to the Attorney General's office about the fact that they endangered my life. And the doctor said it's a miracle that I did not have internal bleeding, otherwise I would have been in coma.
Well, it's been another sad day for traders in Wall Street.
Well, the Dow Jones has plunged for a third day over concerns of slowing economic recovery. The blue chip index fell almost 0.5% to 9,732 points. Poor economic data in the U.S., including a rise in the number of unemployment claims for last week, had traders scrambling to sell their shares. The Dow has lost a whopping 4% of its value in this week on concerns that the economic recovery is faltering. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 closed lower for a fourth day at 1,027 points, and Nasdaq fell to 2,101 points.
Well, police have reopened an investigation into sexual assault allegations against former U.S. Vice President and Nobel laureate Al Gore. Police in Portland in the state of Oregon is looking into reports that a masseuse had accused Gore of sexually assaulting her in a Portland hotel 4 years ago. But the investigation was later dropped for lack of evidence. It was reopened after the woman gave an interview published in a tabloid last week. Gore has denied the accusations. The 62-year-old won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007 for his work on raising awareness of climate change. Last month, he confirmed he was separating from his wife after four decades of marriage.
You're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick check of the headlines this hour. At least 37 people are killed and more than 170 others wounded in bombings in Pakistan. U.S. prosecutors say one of the 10 arrested alleged spies has admitted to working for Russia. A U.S. lawmaker says the cost of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill could run into trillions of dollars. And a member of the American-Iranian Friendship Committee becomes the victim of U.S. police brutality.